We all have a story and we all have a bold voice. And it's so amazing when we are sharing our authentic, bold voice. It's like, wow, I did this. And the more you share, the more freeing it becomes, the more confident you become.
Welcome to Reinvention Rebels, stories of brave and unapologetic women 50 to 90 years young, who will boldly reimagine life on their own terms to find new purpose and possibilities. I'm your host, Wendy Battles. Ready for a dose of inspiration? Let's get to it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Reinvention Rebels. I am so psyched you're here and joining me for what is going to be a fabulous conversation. In a moment, I'm going to introduce you to my guest today, Kim Boudreaux-Smith, and she is fierce and fabulous, and we had so much fun talking about reinvention on this episode. But before we get there, I just want to remind you that Reinvention Rebels is a podcast that talks about reinvention, focused really on women between 50 and 90 that have reinvented themselves in really interesting, clever, and extraordinary ways. But there's a common thread, and that is this idea that we can reinvent ourselves at any age or any stage. So the wisdom that they share, it's applicable to all of us, no matter how old we are. So I hope you'll get some great nuggets from our conversation today. First, though, I want to read you a review that I recently received, and this is entitled, I Refuse to Be Invisible. And Star Woman says, I have felt this attempt at erasure since I entered my 50s, but couldn't articulate the feeling until now. Thanks, Carolyn Doling, for putting words to my new motto in life. I refuse to be invisible. I thoroughly enjoyed this enlightening episode. You're more than a model. You're a role model. And that review is from Star Woman. That was a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Star Woman, thank you so much. And if you're new to the podcast or you haven't yet heard this episode, a few episodes ago, I interviewed this amazing woman, Carolyn Doling, who started her modeling career at 72, is going strong at 74, and is a total inspiration, reinventing herself in the most amazing ways. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, I really encourage you to do so. You can't help but feel good and empowered after listening to it. So if you love this podcast, I'll ask you at the end to just pop over to Apple Podcasts or Podchaser, lots of different places where you can leave me a quick review because it makes it easier for other people to find it. So thank you. Have you ever met someone who brings out the best in you with ease? Someone brimming with good vibes, energy, and inspiration. Someone who is passionate about helping women find their bold voice. That is my guest today, Kim Boudreaux-Smith. Kim is passionate about helping women find and use their bold voices. A born entrepreneur with 25 years as a leader in corporate America, Kim rocks at showing female entrepreneurs and high-performing professional women how to develop their speaking confidence, level up their presence, and increase their profitability. Kim's raw, slightly rebellious, and always riveting speaking style makes her a go-to speaker for women's business and professional conferences, associations, employee resource groups, and podcasts. Prior to launching her career as a professional speaker and speaking coach, Kim was the head of a radio station and for 25 plus years ran a thriving fitness business. Kim is also the co-author of several Amazon best-selling books, and I am so fortunate to have Kim joining me today in the Reinvention Rebels guest chair. Kim, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. First of all, Wendy, thank you for inviting me here. This is a special show. And for all of those women out there listening, and for those that are going to soon start listening, this is a very special woman that hosts a phenomenal podcast. And it's just a great place to be. I love your show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And you know, I feel the same way about yours. We're going to talk about your show today. Kim has a show called Your Bold Voice, a LinkedIn Live show. And I was honored to be a guest during season one of the show, but I tuned into all the episodes because the show is phenomenal. So we have this mutual admiration. And I'll just tell you quickly, listeners, how it is we actually met. I met Kim, almost sounds like a dating app. But I met Kim on Instagram, and one day I think I started following you, Kim, somehow from someone else's profile. I saw you and thought, well, her profile looks interesting. I'm just going to start following you. And you immediately reached out and said, hey, can I be on your show? Can I be on your podcast? Remember that? And I was like, I don't know who this woman is, but she seems kind of interesting.
Yes, I remember that because I had just listened to one of your episodes and I went, oh my gosh, can I please, if you ever... So from owning a radio station, I always come from the standpoint of support. If you are ever, not that you are ever in need of guests, because Wendy, you are never in need of guests. You are so good at searching out and finding women and you do a fantastic job with that. But, you know, if you are ever, you know, if there's ever a space, I would love to be on here. And you know something? Since that moment, you and I have been friends for 25 years.
I know. Isn't that amazing? It's just interesting how you connect with people sometimes in the most serendipitous ways, often unexpected. And sometimes you just find people that you have this deep connection with, even though you've never met them in person. You know, you've just seen them like online, but we just have this great synergy. You know, we message each other back and forth on Instagram, you know, early mornings. Hey, how are you doing today? That kind of thing. So I am just really grateful for our friendship and our professional connection on so many different levels. And I'm really excited that we're going to talk about reinvention today.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for helping me kick off my show. You were one of the guests in season one, which we just wrapped up. So I appreciate all the support and I appreciate you. Yeah, you were showing up to a lot of the shows and you have this beautiful light about you. I tell you this on Instagram. Okay. Send me morning audio messages, please. Your tone, your voice is just so, it's very cheerleading and very upbeat and just beautiful. Your presence. And I'm sure you do that when you walk into a room. I'm sure it's very present.
I think so. And I think that you have that same quality. So I think we have that going for each other. So let's start this discussion about reinvention because you have done so many different things. And I know your bio didn't even do it enough justice to kind of capture the essence of everything you've done over your career. Before I'd asked you, Kim, to summarize a little bit how you've reinvented yourself. And you mentioned you've done it so many times. And I get that because I have too. I've reinvented myself a lot, like in all caps. I think women are pros at reinventing ourselves often out of necessity. Like we have to rise to the occasion. Tell me about a reinvention that changed your life in a powerful way. What's something that's happened to you in the past when you've reinvented yourself?
Well, this is part of my story that I use actually for speaking and things, and you know, speaking and in my books and stuff is I was driving home one day in a beautiful noon August sunny day in Michigan. And there's a major 8-lane road by my house, 4 lanes south, 4 lanes north. And I was approaching an intersection and unbeknownst to me, had no idea, wasn't even feeling that this was even going to happen. And I fell asleep at the red light. But not once. I did it twice, all within a matter of seconds. And it wasn't because I had a cocktail at lunch, because I was coming from a fitness client's home. And it wasn't because I didn't have enough sleep the night before, or I was having an overly worked day. It was because of my mindset and living without passion and lust for life and clarity. And boy, that was a crisis moment. I mean, that was, first, I was scared and overwhelmed because I still had a mile to drive home. And I was like, oh my God, I want to hurt myself and I want to hurt someone else. I got to get home. And and unbeknownst to me, that mile was not a wake-up call just physically to wake up to get my butt home. It was an internal, started me off on a self journey of healing mile. It woke me up to that.
Wow. Just that one incident was so powerful, is what I hear you saying, that something, it sparked something in you. And what did it spark?
I was just in an internal knots and an internal mess. And at that time, I was 48 and a half, looking forward to turning 50. But I knew I wasn't going to make it to 50 if I didn't do something. Because and this was an intersection I drove for 13 years, up and down 4 times a week. And I knew the next day I had to go through the intersection again. I was scared to death. I was scared to death to get in my car, just to drive my car the next day. And that was a major wake up moment, turning point for me. I had to do something or I wasn't going to make it to 50. I had such fear I would not make it.
And what were you fearful about specifically?
That I would end up, God forbid, you know, falling asleep at the wheel and really hurting myself and hurting somebody else. And my personality does not do well living without clarity and passion. I was living without gratitude. I was constantly comparing myself with other people. I was a pro at faking it, because everything on the outside of me, Wendy, was perfect. Okay, so a perfectionist with anxiety, you know, and it was perfect. And I'd had enough of living lies and just trying to show up based upon what I thought Wendy would accept of me and what society, what my parents, what everyone would accept and love me. I was trying to live that.
So you were trying to live up to these standards that were literally driving you crazy, basically.
Yes, they were making me sick. They really, truly were making me sick. So that was one major aha reinvention time in my life.
So you have this moment, you realize something needs to change. You can't go on like this. You have this moment of clarity. What happened after that? How were you able to pivot after that experience?
Well, I came into the house that day and I stood in the middle of the family room and set my purse down, pet the dogs, and stood there and went, I need help. I can't do this on my own, because I was so far down the rabbit. I was at the bottom of the rabbit hole and I knew I couldn't claw my way out. So I immediately said, I need to reach out to a couple people in my community, some trusted sources. And after that, I knew I was going to have to clean up these lies that I was living. And I also realized one of the things that I was doing was, I'm a morning person, as you know, because you and I are autoing each other on Instagram. I'm a morning person. I love the mornings. But what I was doing was, before I would even put my feet on the floor and get out of bed, I would wake up and go, what's on my calendar today? check this appointment, check this appointment. Oh, check that appointment. I'm done at noon. I get to come back home and go back to bed. And I did, fully clothed, under covers. I went back to bed and would stay there until dinner time. I was talking myself back to sleep.
So this is a serious change, a transformation that occurred to go from that state of, it sounds like depression, not wanting to face what was going on in your life, trying to hide, it sounds like, when you're going to sleep with your clothes on, to seeking help, to reaching out, to recognizing that you needed these, what I call guides on the side. You needed people to help you figure out your path. And I think that so much of that, you know, part of what I'm hearing, Kim, is that it was like the light bulb went off on your self-awareness journey. Are you thinking, I'll have some of what she's having? Reinvention Ripples are amazing, as you can hear from our discussion. They've put themselves first, decided their dreams matter, and are taking action. They have unleashed their inner rebel and are living on purpose in midlife. Are you ready to start putting yourself first and embark on your midlife dreams, focused on what you want, not others' ideas of what you should do? Come check out my new audio course, Midlife Reinvention from the Inside Out, 8 Essentials to Greenlight Your Life. I share my roadmap to get you started on your reinvention journey with the key components you need to navigate detours and get on the road to smooth reinvention sailing. Sis, it is time to give yourself the green light to shine in midlife and crush those dreams of yours with joy and purpose. Join today and let's reinvent and get inspired together. Details are in the show notes.
Yes, it did, big time. It was the wake up call, no pun intended, to the self-awareness journey. And I had dabbled a little bit prior to this into my self-awareness journey and had some great dynamic messages given to me. I just wasn't ready for the pivots. I was not. It was a couple of years later at this red light that I was ready for the pivots.
And I think that's interesting what you said, that it took a couple of years, that you had dabbled, but you weren't ready. And I feel like that is so much of life. It is this journey that is not a straight line, that is often a curvy road of ups and downs. And sometimes we're in that space of doing that work and it feels really good and we feel courageous to do it. And other times I feel like I want to run away or I'm not ready for that. So I think that speaks to so much of the journey of so many women when it comes to reinvention, that it's not the straight line, but there are fits and starts. And I think that really says a lot about how you've managed to reinvent yourself, you know, many different times.
Yes. I just went through another reinvention just recently, you know, and I will say on your show, Wendy, I am feeling a little bit of that lack of passion and that luster, just a little bit, not to that extreme of life, because of this environment that we all have been living in. And it's, I feel a little held back. One of my bucket list things is I want to go skydiving. Well, now in Michigan, I know things are starting to open up, you know, but we've had to pause some things for a while, you know. But with that being said, oh my gosh, the deep, deep connections of new relationships that I made in that year of COVID. And, you know, and I say this, I don't share this a lot, but I remember our state, Michigan, when our governor was closing us down a year ago, March, I never felt so much inner peace and calmness in my entire life. And we're going into a health pandemic. I felt safe. I felt calm. I mean, I was out walking every day, which I do anyways with my 10-year-old Black Lab Grace, but the air was fresher. There wasn't as much traffic. We were seeing wildlife, and we live in an area where there's curbs and sidewalks. We were seeing wildlife everywhere. There was so much wildlife. I felt so at peace, but shortly after that, I was going into another revamp and a pivot in my business. and reinventing.
Yeah. So tell me about that, because I know what you're saying about that period during the pandemic where, I mean, I felt so many different things, of course, and it was hard in some ways, but in other ways, it was a gift in the sense that, like you're saying, I got to really slow down and hit the pause button and be more self-reflective, which helped me pivot as well. So tell me about how that led to your latest reinvention.
Well, so I'll give you the rebellious side of Kim. Here we go. So we're a month into this pandemic, and I'm literally standing here in my office with my hands on my hips going, I'm not changing my business model because this is the United States of America. We're not going to be here long. Because my model was in person. I was coaching and teaching women in person. All my leads were coming from, I was a networking queen. I was out and about. I was thriving on that fast-paced energy. Well, after about 60 days into this, and then almost 90 days into this, I went, I'm in trouble. And I was watching, literally sitting here, feeling, watching my business that I've worked so hard at go down. And so I hopped into a 8-month high-end. It was a very, I say high-end. It was a beautiful mastermind. And this is where 9 of us came together in a pandemic and have the strongest relationships and connections. And none of us have met face-to-face. This has all been done on Zoom. It was amazing. And that group helped me get out of my own way and revamp the business. I had to go through a little bit of a storm. I call it the Hag in the Attic Inner Critic Kim Boudreaux-Smith storm back in the beginning of the year, where I revamped and I launched a 6-week program. And I was so out of my element. I was unaligned. I said, Kim, come on. You're strong. You're tenacious. You can do this. Let's try this. Let's do it. And it just brought out the worst in me. But here's the blessing in all of that. I know what I want for my business, and I know what I don't want. I know what my terms, boundaries, and conditions are with my business. I have never been so rock solid around that, Wendy. So with that being said, we took my in-person curriculum that I was teaching that I could lay down and cry. I missed teaching it so much. We revamped it, rebranded it, and put it online. And before it even hit the, before my landing page was even on my website, 7 women came out of the woodwork, signed up.
Just like that.
Just like that.
So with ease, It wasn't, so for something that seemed like it was going to be so hard, part of what I hear you saying is, because you were sort of set with, this is how I do it. This is how I do it really well. I want to keep doing it that way, but here I can't. And you had to do this pivot, which took some work to kind of create the mindset around. But when you did, when you were able to step back, get clarity, do some self-reflection, and realize that this pivot was really where you needed to go, I think it's very interesting that things then started to flow easily.
Yes. And very with ease. Yes, absolutely. Very, the grind came out, and I use the words grit and grace. I stepped into my grit and I stepped into my grace. Yes.
And I think that says a lot, because I personally think that I often make things much more difficult than they need to be. I put obstacles in my own way, and it's not even like anyone else is doing it. It's just me making things so much more difficult than they have to be. And I think there's something to be said for that grace and that flow. If we're open to it, if we allow it, you know, as we're reinventing ourselves, maybe it doesn't have to be as hard as we think it does. Maybe we can reinvent ourselves with more ease, or we can be more open to the clarity that you're talking about, that you received. And I think I think that's such a powerful lesson in how we can reinvent ourselves in simple ways, whatever that is for any of us, right? It doesn't have to be so hard.
You know, Wendy, I don't believe that we don't have to grind and work hard and push our sleeves up and, you know, drag our knuckles on the concrete. I've been there multiple times. I was there in corporate America. I'm very successful at it with my internet radio station. And that thing almost killed me because it was 365, 24/7, even though I had a team in place. I was still in that mode of, gosh, you know, if I work hard, I'll get paid. I'll have a title. I'll have the acknowledgement. If I work hard, and you don't miss a beat, a minute, a second of the day to work. And we don't need to be doing that. And I feel the reason why there's a lot of women still talking about self-care. And look, I'm all over the external self-care. I'm all over a manicure, pedicure. I'm all over, you know, getting massages and stuff like that. But how do we turn in and go deeper to soul care when we're in that that grind all the time? It's very difficult to slow down. And this is coming from a recovering anxiety perfectionist person. It's like, I hear women, oh my God, I've got to work. It's like, I've been there. And you know what? No, you don't. You're chasing it. And those knuckles are going to get raw from that concrete. And, you know, it's like, oh, one day I'll have time for self-care. Well, I used to be like that. I mean, I always worked out because I have a fitness business. I've always worked. I worked out. I used to work out grind, you know, 3-4 hours a day, which was crazy. And that's another recovering thing that I've gone through. But we don't have to get to those moments where we put off having self-care down the road, because we might not get down that road from that grind.
Exactly. And if we've learned nothing else, that there is no guarantee after the pandemic with so much uncertainty. If nothing else I've learned, I need to really appreciate every single day, because we just don't know. Hey, amazing listeners. Are you feeling a little social? Come join me on social media for a big dose of inspiration. You'll find me on Instagram at Reinvention Rebels. Same thing on Facebook. And also, I'm on Twitter at Rebels Reinvent. I look forward to seeing you soon. So what advice do you have for the women that are listening that are thinking, I like the idea of reinventing myself, but I've got this crazy grind because maybe I'm grinding for whatever reason. And yes, I hear what you're saying about self-care, but I'm not sure about this soul care. Like, I get, yeah, the manicures, pedicures, but Kim is mentioning this soul care. You know, how does someone start to go down that path? Something that is so restorative, that is so helpful and in taking a step back and being able to see where you are. But how do we help people get there if they're stuck in that grind that we both have experienced before?
Well, I say, let's not make it all or nothing. And that's another thing I recover from. I used to go from 0 to 60, all or nothing. One of the things that I like to do, and I get up early in the morning, and it's not that I have a household full of kids. I have 2 dogs and my husband, but I want to be up before the world and I want to be awake before my husband. So I get up, I take care of the dogs. And now after that, I'm taking care of the dogs. They're trained. That's it. Go back to bed, lay down. It's mama time. It is mama time. And there will be mornings where I just sit with my cup of coffee and my protein bar. I'm a dunker and I just sit. And I'll open up the sliding glass door. It doesn't matter how hot it is out. And I'll listen to the birds chirping. And I have a water feature right outside that door. I have a little fountain. And I will just listen to that. Or I will just sit. An hour will go by so fast. Or there will be things where I will take and read some little insights for the day. And I'll just sit and reflect about them. Or I will literally write in the book. Because I need, it's like a glass of great purified water with a slice of organic in it. That is my water to my soul. That's my nurturing to my soul. You know, and a lot of times I cannot sit there. Sometimes I have to get up and I have to move, because movement feeds my soul. And it might be just walking outside in bare feet, which we can do now because it's not winter.
Yay. Yay. Yes.
Or just be, I don't know, prepping something for breakfast and putting it away, just some touching movements that I will do. I have a trainer that I work with. She's a very dear friend of mine. She also teaches me some brain gym exercises, and I may stand and do some brain gym exercises, which is gentle movements.
One of the things that's very interesting in hearing you talk about that is that I hear the parallels between us, because the thing that I do as soon as I wake up is I go into my meditation room. I have this room where I meditate and I chant, and I just spend half an hour being quiet, meditating, calming my mind, and just that silence. So I get up every day at 4:45, and that is my me time. So just like you're saying, it's this time for me to reflect and just be with myself. And I feel like it makes such a huge difference in how my day goes. If there's some reason I don't have time to do that, or it doesn't always work as well out as well on the weekends. But I just see how important it is for women, especially, because we tend to try to do everything, be all things to all people. We end up being, especially, you know, for women with children, often the chief scheduler and organizer and lunch maker, even with an amazing spouse. The responsibility just often, a lot of it falls on women. And we want to do a great job. So to your point, we just are sort of over the top about doing all those things and not going inside and not taking care of ourselves. So I think that anytime we can have some kind of a practice, which could be as simple as you said, walking outside, listening to the water, listening to the trees, opening the window. It doesn't have to be something that has to, because I know we're always trying to squeeze things in, right, into our busy day, but just something so simple like that. But I think it says everything about how we care for ourselves. When we say, I'm willing to get up early, or I'm willing to do X in order to take care of myself in a way that certainly doesn't have to cost money. To your point, it's not about necessarily going to the spa, although I do love that.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm not going to lie. I love that. However, I don't think we need to think that self-care means I have to spend hundreds of dollars. It doesn't at all, right? We can find the simplest, most profound things we can do that can move us forward exponentially in our journey of self-discovery, self-inquiry, self-appreciation, self-development, all those things that really help us shine. And that really makes me think about your show. You have this really great show, Your Bold Voice. And I love this because part of your mission is to help women uncover that bold voice that's within. And I'm really curious as to, you know, how you came up with this idea and why you think it's so important. Why is it so important that we need to have a show about finding your bold voice?
Well, that's really interesting. That's a great question. First of all, I love supporting women and providing that. It's like I'm giving you an 18 karat gold platter and I'm serving you. So that platform for women to speak and talk on and become vulnerable and transparent with authenticity. And I know that word, that A word, is being thrown around a lot, but when I use it, I'm really, truly meaning that authenticity and sharing some of the challenges that they have overcome to get to their bold voice and where they are in that moment. You know, it could be something that, a family betrayed them, or, you know, people in their lives are rolling their eyes at them and they're the six-figure income earner, but yet people are rolling their eyes at them, or, you know, getting very threatened and jealous maybe by other women and things that they've had to do to overcome that. That's what that platform is for. And for women to really own that and be able to speak about that and to shine, it's to really lower their shoulders and open up their chest and be proud of what they've accomplished through their voice. And we all share their stories. We all have a story and we all have a bold voice. It's when we start hiding, like I did for many years, behind lies and faking it until I'm making it, behind that perfectionism and, you know, drinking the water like it was filling up my anxiety. That's when we're losing. And I recognized that day when I fell asleep with the light. I recognized I had totally lost myself in expression and I had lost my voice because I was living on other people's ideas and opinions. I'd lost my voice. And we all have been there. We all have done that. And it's time for all of us to remove the armor that society says. You are to sit up. You are not to be angry. You are to cross your legs. You are to, no, we are here to show up on our terms, compassionately, unapologetically.
Yes. And so I see that in the interviews, how you showcase these amazing women from all different backgrounds and experiences who have the opportunity to really share their story, as you said. And what I think is really interesting about that is that when I can see someone else's story or hear their story, I can always see a part of myself in their story. There's always something I can connect with and resonates with me, which is evident by when you do the show and it's live and we're in the chat at the same time that you and your guest are speaking, we're busy saying, yes, I know, I totally know what you mean, or yes, say that again. You know, we're just agreeing and acknowledging. And I think that that is a really powerful tool, because not everyone has the same role models. Not everyone, you know, we're all in different places in finding that authentic voice. And I feel like for the same way, for a long time, I didn't know what mine was. And I you know, experienced some of the same things that you did. So being able to now uncover it feels really freeing. So I feel like you're providing a service. I feel like you're being of service to these women through this, through your ability to share these stories.
It really truly is freeing, Wendy. It really is. And it's so amazing when we are sharing our authentic, bold voice. It's like, wow, I did this? Sure, my palms are sweating and maybe my underarms are too. And hint, we are in a first world country. We have soap and water. I like to make light of that, you know, but the part of the sensations, but when you move through that, and the more you share, the more freeing it becomes, the more confident you become. And I always like to say, pinch yourself, because you're still alive when you do share this stuff. And it's a human experience. It's a connection. And Wendy, okay, so I'm going to be very transparent here in this show. Just listening to you as a listener on my show and your experience just took me to another level, because I wasn't going to do a live, because I come from radio and the shows were live, but we recorded them, you know, for shelf life, AKA podcast. And, you know, and we're, you know, this is a recording, obviously, and you will launch this when it is ready. And I've one that comes around when I listen to the shows. I make comments, of course, either on the show note page or I come around on Instagram, because when I see it, but you just said something that gave me another aha moment, that when the women are on there listening live, because I was not going to do a live. I was dead against it. We came up with this in my mastermind, and I was going through all the obstacles, like you were saying in the very beginning, that we, you know, earlier momentarily here, that you were saying that we put in our own ways. Oh my God, I got to have my makeup on. And let's, yeah, oh my gosh. And oh, and the internet. I mean, I was going through all of that. But when you just said the women that show up to that show live and they're making comments and they're going, yes, thumbs up, hell yes, high five to each other, and plus what myself and my guests are saying, I actually lost sight of that, and you just brought that back out in me. And it, in fact, my eyes are tearing up over this, because yes, it's like we come together as a community, a sacred, safe community, even though it's a LinkedIn Live, and we support one another. And this is what I'm talking about with women. Look, I might not agree with things that you do and say, Wendy, but let's agree to disagree. And by the way, keep them coming, because that's how I learn and elevate. I might not agree your choice of, I don't know, presidents or whatever, and I'm not really politically savvy, but talk to me, because that elevates my knowledge. It makes me look at things from your eyes as well. And that's what women need to be doing. And we also need men in here with us, standing by our sides and not necessarily pulling out those chairs, so to speak, for us, but supporting us as well.
And I think what I see from watching your shows and seeing the interaction, because I've met these really amazing women that I honestly wouldn't know if it wasn't for your show. It's because we connected because we were commenting. And then I went and connected with them on LinkedIn and other, and then, you know, and that's led to all kinds of things, like someone saying, will you come write an article for this magazine that I edit? You know, Ruth. I mean, so many things have happened because of that. And I think it speaks to the power of community. I think that women naturally tend to like to come together and sort of have that sort of close-knit kind of connection that men have friendships in different ways. But it reminds me that even though we've been in this space of being separated because of the pandemic and both, you know, physically separated, that there's always a way we can connect with people. There's always a way we can build community. And building these communities helps all of us be clearer, have more self-appreciation, helps us on our reinvention journey. I mean, it helps with so many things. So I see just how powerful it's been to be our participant, you know, a viewer of this. So I'm really glad that you went ahead and did it. And it also reminds me of another point, which is that so many times we tell ourselves, no, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do a live show. No, 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 no. And I think, though, that people who have a reinvention rebels mindset are able to shift to, well, maybe. They might not immediately be at yes. Yes, I'm going to do that. But they see possibility. They're curious. So even if they initially say, no, 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 oh, I can't do that, something may trigger them, that like a mastermind group, someone might push them a bit and say, well, why not? Why not you? Why not now? Why can't you? Why is it a no? So I think that when we are open to thinking beyond the no, no, I can't do that, to what if even if we just go from no to what if, I feel like that is a really important step in thinking about what's possible. And it's all about the possibility. That's where reinvention lives, is in that possibility. So that's been, you know, it's just really helpful what you said. When I heard that, I was like, oh, yeah, she's gotten beyond the no's to, maybe.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and in doing a live show, is I can do some of that in my sleep, you know, not to minimize the work that goes into all of that, because I had an internet radio station. You know, it was just, do I want to get into this again? But I think, and I believe you just summed up what reinvention is right then and there, is let's go through the no, no, no's for a minute, but let's not stay in the no, no, no's forever. Let's come over on the other side and surrender into the trusting and the what ifs, the what ifs, the what if I lean in at the table at my meeting tomorrow and speak up with my idea? Doesn't mean everyone's going to love it and take it, but I spoke. What if I launched that podcast, you know, at the age of, at 60 or 50 or whatever? What if? And the possibilities behind that. I mean, you interviewed, I do believe you've interviewed, and I'm drawing a blank on her first name. She's 72 years old and she's a model.
Oh, yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Carolyn.
Yes. And it is amazing.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And she said, like, I'm working through all the isms. Ageism, hairism, you know, being vertically challenged ism, you name it. Racism, all those things to and I think that if you have that kind of attitude, like, I'm not gonna let anything stop me. I'm going for it. Whatever going for it is for any of us. If we have that mindset that anything is possible, as opposed to there are so many limits, I feel like things open up, because you said two things. You said two words, surrender and trust. And I have fought so hard against surrendering, not like consciously, oh, I'm not going to surrender. I don't mean like that, but just I like to control things. And I don't, by control things, I don't mean controlling other people. I don't mean, you know, doing that, but more myself, the self-control. I want things to work out a certain way. If they don't work out the way I wanted them to, then that's not good. And, you know, so this idea, so when you have that kind of mindset, it's hard to surrender. That's a really big thing to do. And one of the things I have learned through reinventing myself with the podcast is this being in this space of being much more open to possibilities. And I've seen that when I, you know, it's not like you're not taking action, right? You're doing things. It's not like you said, I'm going to produce a show and then you're not showing up. So you're taking action and you have intention, but at the same time, you don't have to work so hard and you're just trusting it's working out. It's this, I feel like with reinvention and the things we're talking about, it's a fine line. It's like this balance. It's like, you know, when you're learning how to ride a bike and you have to find just the right balance to like learn how to pedal and coast and keep the bike upright. I feel like it's the same thing when we're on this reinvention path. We're just trying to figure out how do we find the right balance. So it all just kind of works out. And that was just like a little light bulb. I'm like, yes, that's what I feel like we're doing.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And trusting in yourself. And I'm a recovering control freak to the hilt. Probably why I'm also a recovering anxiety person too, you know, with that perfection.
Yes, me too.
And I literally have a index card that sits on my, I have two screens on my desktop. And one of them on one of the screens below, it says, what do I need right now to trust and surrender? What do I need right now to trust and surrender? Sometimes I can't even get to that whole completed question. Sometimes I just get to, what do I need? And it's like, I got to step away because there's something going on here. I need to step away, you know? And that trusting and that surrendering, I had a hard time with the self-trust, letting go and surrendering because I have a default button. I don't like things feeling like the rug's been pulled up from underneath my feet. I don't like that at all. It's a from a childhood thing. And boy, talk about letting go, trusting and surrender, you know, because a lot of people say let go, trust and surrender in God. And it's like, I can't see him. I can't touch him. But boy, really learning how to release and trust and surrender. Now, I show up with that messy, imperfect, and I have my days. It's a challenge. It is a challenge.
Of course, there's no, you know, we're not good. I mean, because I think that because this is a process, because letting go, surrendering, trying to get in that flow, it doesn't happen overnight when you're a former perfectionist / control freak, right? It's like you have to work at it. I have to remind myself, just like you, with cues like that, what can I let go of right now? What am I holding on to right now that's not benefiting me? Why is it that I'm feeling this way? But so I think it goes back to that self-inquiry, trying to be my authentic self, really kind of tuning in, that those are all powerful ways that because I always say that reinvention rebels are unapologetic about what they want. And you spoke to that earlier about doing things on your own terms. And I feel like I need to go back to that when I'm having those anxiety moments that do come up, of course, right? The ebb and flow of life, to just tune back into, right, okay, this is why I'm doing this. This is where I am right now. It's okay if I'm feeling like this today. Not every day is a great day, right? And it's okay to acknowledge that.
Yeah, that's the other thing I believe that women, and again, I pick on our gender because I work specifically with our gender, is letting go of, hi, hello, I'm okay. I'm good. I'm great. Yeah, boom, bon, rah, rah, rah. Well, gosh, that's a pretty high standard that you are setting for yourself. And again, I'm coming from, because I lived like this for many years. Everything was great. I was okay. I was good. All is well. And the other, you know, here's a nasty four-letter word I believe that needs to be removed from our vocabulary. Hi, how are you? Busy. Listen, someone tells me that. I don't even know how to respond to that anymore, the B-U-S-Y word. And I try very hard not to use when someone asks me how I am and, you know, not saying busy. I might say, oh, progressing or feel a little wonky today because things are off. I'm still moving through, you know, the loss that I had earlier this year, you know, and, you know, it's when I start catching myself second guessing, mistrusting those decisions. First of all, I can't change what's happened in the past. Is that's when I need to come around and acknowledge myself that I made some right decisions. And I did inflict my my voice, even though, you know, it wasn't in the most desired environment that I would have wanted. Now there's some of that control freak. I wanted it this way, but you know, it's looking at what went on and being grateful how it all transpired, you know? And so it's okay to say, hi, I'm feeling wonky today, man. My emotions are a little off. You know, I'm a little melancholy-ish. I'm a little sad. Yeah.
I think it's something to be said to just be honest about how we're feeling and not have to fall back into that. Oh, you know, everything is fine. When it's really not. But I guess part of that is, you know, age and wisdom. I've learned so much in this journey in 56 years that allows me to be much more real just with myself. Forget even other people, but just with myself, owning up to what's really going on and tuning into my feelings. And I think so that, you know, I think we're all trying to work through those things. One thing I'm really interested in, Kim, is your perspective about how older women show up in the world. And we just were talking about the Carolyn Dolings of the world, this amazing woman who became a model in her 70s. And if you guys have not listened to the episode, you should go listen to it because she is really amazing. And I feel like, you know, I can see the needle beginning to shift a bit. Because there's always been this perception of you get to be a certain age, women, well, you know, you lose your beauty and your body and, you know, you're just kind of sitting around. And I feel like it's really different now. Hey, amazing listeners. Want to have Reinvention Rebels inspiration delivered to your inbox? Head over to reinventionrebels.com and sign up for my news and notes. What do you think we need to do? What do you think needs to happen, maybe more broadly, to really more broadly shift the narrative about the grace, wisdom, capacity of aging women?
Well, if I may quote you, it's not anti-aging, it is pro-aging. Mm-hmm. And can we just get rid of all these darn commercials, you know, buy this thing to anti-age and fight? Well, I believe the more we fight aging, I think we're going to get more wrinkles. I'm going to look more of a haglet because we're fading. I mean, you know, our bodies change. Some of us we do and some of us we don't. We are blessed with hormones. We go through menopause. Things change with us. Yeah, and everybody is different. I think several years ago, I can't remember how long ago this was, Dove soap came out with a commercial of women in white bra and underwear.
That.
Every shape, size, and ethnicity. And I just went, we have now arrived, and who is ever running the Dove campaign? Do not stop. Now, they just had another campaign come through, and it was where they were involving young girls in their soap commercial. This is what we need, you know, because when we pick up a magazine and we see that beautiful model, we see that beautiful model that has been airbrushed from, you know, professional pictures. And, you know, wearing these specific clothes, sure. You know, Wendy, the clothes that you wear are not going to fit me. And the clothes I wear, they're not going to fit you. They're not meant to. I'm me, you're you, and that's it. It drives me crazy that society, oh, look at that woman. Boy, she's a real bitch for speaking up. Or look at that. There goes another angry Black woman. Oh my God, it just drives me crazy. You know, or God, look at that woman. She's so overweight. I wonder what the problem, you know, society says this on women, oh, she's a certain age. She's not supposed to be wearing her hair that way or clothes a specific way. Enough. Enough. If that woman wants to shave her head and looks in the mirror and thinks she looks damn beautiful and rocking it, peace out, sister. Rock it. It is your choice. It's your body. And none of our opinions matter.
Absolutely. That's the idea of, right, unapologetically just being you.
It's letting go. Society needs to let go how women should be, you know, specific ethnicity or, oh, this woman's gay, you know, whatever the case may be, or she's divorced. And there's so much stigma on women still in this 21st century, which blows me away. You know, I thought we'd be more advanced and more evolved at this point, but the stigma, we need to stop with the commercials. But, you know, especially in January when we've gone through New Year's and it's like, join this health club, lose weight. Because I remember when I used to teach classes in the health club back in my fitness days. I loved January, February, and March because it was packed. By March, it's like, you know, so it's those commercials and it's the commercials about the anti, if you buy this product, you will look like Cindy Crawford. You know, I'm like, okay, Cindy Crawford is beautiful, but the product is not going to make me look like her, and nor do I want to look. I want to look like me. So I think society and us as an individual, we need to stop buying into all this BS.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. It's really on a couple different levels that, I mean, and obviously, you know, it's harder for us to control this broad narrative about how critical people are of women generally, and especially as we age. But I do think that we can control the narrative and shape that narrative when it comes to ourselves. And when we can look within, when we can find that voice, when we can express ourselves authentically as we age, I think that that contributes a lot to helping to change the narrative. You get enough women doing that, finding themselves, being authentic, and you know, connecting with those women so you're not alone in being your authentic self, that I think that really does help move the needle.
Yes, it does. It does. That's where we as women need to pull together. And, you know, and taking a look at even if we have a partner or a spouse in life or not, is making sure that they're on board and they're supporting as well. This is the big feminine paradigm shift, I believe. You know, it's enough of you know, a man running our country, men, you know, making the laws and the rules and holding, you know, women down. And it's just enough of all of that.
Yeah, I think that it's time for a change, right? Really changing some of the paradigms. So I think we need to see change on that, you know, higher level over time, hopefully sooner rather than later and during our lifetime, that we can see some of those things as well as those individual choices we can make that can help move the needle and really show up as our authentic selves as we age and own that. Not be ashamed of that, but own that. If you have wrinkles, if you don't have wrinkles, it doesn't matter. Just own who you are in your body, you know, really being proud of that, because we've been through a lot to get to where we are, right? Every woman has. And, you know, she's had her battles and victories and everything in between that's made her who she is and has supported all the reinventions that we often go through. So I think you're so right about that. So what do you think, as we start to wrap up, I'm really curious as to what's next for Kim. As you think about, you know, you've had this arc of reinvention throughout your life, and now you're in this really great place where you're having this really bold impact in helping women find that voice and let it come out and to step into their truth and be able to speak really confidently. And I think to me, that's like one of the best things that we can do. Where do you see yourself going?
I'm not going to share. No, I'm just kidding. Oh gosh. God, that is such a wonderful question. You know, I just rebranded the whole business just a few months ago So here's where I'm right now in this moment is relishing in how well the business is doing and not getting too far ahead of myself. So I'm breathing in the scaling of the business. I want to take my voice on some bigger platforms coming up here. Might be a TED Talk woman. And there could be a tiny book in me. And I say tiny because I'm not interested in writing a big, huge book. I'm going to keep the show going because it just thrills me to bring women on. Yeah, so season two, I'm getting ready to start scheduling season three.
Awesome.
So that is taking off that I thought we'd get through season one and that would be it. So I'm already, season two is booked. I'm looking at now season three. So there's a few of that. One of the biggest things, Wendy, that I'm working on with my voice is removing the taskmasterness out of me. Things are going so well and not getting so far ahead of myself because I am, all right, we got this. Now we got to do this. Now we got to do that. Got to have it. No, I'm learning how to relish in what is going on now and becoming better within that as opposed to expanding or growing it and making it bigger. Becoming, it's like I like to say, is caramelizing things better.
I love that. Caramelizing things. Now that sounds great. So you're making what you're doing even sweeter.
Yes.
And yeah. That's such a great metaphor for the journey that you're on. And it's so joyful having this conversation with you, Kim. I'm so excited. And, you know, I'm so excited because we have so many parallels. And one of the things it reminds me is that we are never alone. There are always people we can turn to for support that might show up. Like you just showed up in my life in this unexpected way. And what a gift. What a gift to find someone that's on a similar path and that we can help each other and talk it through and talk each other down on those days when we're like, what? Say what?
Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of living authenticity. I mean, authentic. When you're authentic and you are beautifully bold in your voice, you attract like-minded. You attract. I mean, you know, yes, I have such a community that I, at any given time, if I'm like too high up above the earth, AKA anxiety's kicking in and I'm getting close to that rabbit hole, yes, I have the tools to help myself, but there are some times I do need to reach out to my trusted sources. And I have, and Wendy, you are one of them. I have so many, I'm so blessed with so many of them, of women that I trusted sources in my life.
You and me both. And I feel the same way about Natalie, who we both know. Natalie has been on both of our shows. She's amazing. If you haven't heard the episode with Natalie, you really need to listen to it. She did a solo trip around the world at 60 and started an internship in a bourbon distillery at 61, just really reimagining her life. Again, just this idea of reinvention. And she's another one of my trusted people who I literally met on Instagram. I have that deep connection with, and I just think that makes such a difference in this journey that we're all on, just trying to navigate all the ups and downs of life. And it is very complicated. And I think that, you know, the pandemic has certainly made it much more clear. I think I was so busy just being busy that there's a lot of things I was ignoring, and it's forced me to really see things for what they are, which is, you know, easier said than done. Certainly. So I'm very appreciative, Kim. Now, the real question that people want to know is, how can they find Kim Boudreaux-Smith? So they've heard this podcast. They're so excited. They're like, this is a woman I want to know. She has reinvented herself in this bold way. How would people find you?
Well, there's a couple of ways. Come on. Well, here on Instagram, not here on Instagram, but I know, Wendy, you have a very strong presence on Instagram. Reach out, Her Bold Voice on Instagram, or Kim Boudreaux-Smith on LinkedIn. I play a lot on LinkedIn and I dabble over on Instagram. So either one of those platforms. And of course, my website, kimboudreauxsmith.com. If you reach out through my website via email, will you please say, I heard you on Wendy's show. so I know who you are and where you're coming from. And yes, we will connect.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And that is all in the show notes. So if you didn't quite get that, not to worry, just check the show notes and you'll see links to Kim's Instagram, her LinkedIn, and her website to make it super simple to connect with you. I cannot thank you enough, Kim Boudreaux-Smith, for spending this time with me, for gracing me with your presence, for sharing your reinvention story and demonstrating what a reinvention rebel looks like, constantly trying new things, figuring it out, saying no, then saying maybe, then saying yes. Right? That's such a part of this journey of reinventing ourselves. And you just did such a beautiful job of expressing that and how we all have the potential to get there.
Yes, we do. Thank you. And thank you so much for acknowledging that. We do all have the potential to get there. And Wendy, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Reinvention Rebels podcast today. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did and found it interesting, insightful, and inspiring. I've got a small favor to ask. If you love this, would you do me a favor and share a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts via your phone or iPad and share what you loved about it? Do you know that it makes it easier for people to find the Reinvention Rebels podcast when I get more reviews? And don't you think it's an awesome idea to make this kind of inspiration easier to find for our listeners? So thanks in advance for your time, your words, and your review. I really appreciate it. And I can't wait to see you on the next episode. Talk soon. Are you tired of waiting for someday? Feel like you're too old or it's too late to reinvent yourself? Unsure of how you'd even get started on the path to midlife reinvention? I'm here to help. As your guide on the side and host of the top 2% globally rated Reinvention Rebels podcast, I've been around the reinvention block a lot. Here's a simple way you can get started. Sign up for my free audio, 5 questions to spark your curiosity and inspire your Reinvention Rebel journey. It all starts with getting curious about what's possible. And I've got 5 questions to help tease out some very cool ideas. Let's get started. Details are in the show notes.